Good morning to each one. So good to be with you on this beautiful Lord's Day. We've been blessed with. Invite you to take your Bibles out. Please open to the Gospel of John in chapter 21. John, the 21st chapter, please. I appreciate in the week that my family and I were away, of the men that filled in my absence, as always, appreciate them stepping up and taking care of those responsibilities of the teaching and preaching. Appreciate Cody Young and Brian Aiken for the two classes that needed to be covered, as well as Gary Lackey and Jamie Williams in covering the sermons the past Sunday. John chapter 21. I want to begin reading with you there with verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus asked Simon, son of Jonah, "Do you love me more than these?" More than these. More than the other apostles, more than the other disciples. Peter had early declared that he did. From a commentary, we read on the night of the betrayal when Christ intimated and indicated that His disciples would forsake Him in the trial He was about to suffer, Peter spoke up and asserted that though all others forsook Him, He would never forsake Him. Remember Matthew 26:33? That was part of our Scripture reading. When Jesus said, "All of you will be made to stumble because of Me this night. All of you will forsake Me." He said, Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Even if all are made to stumble, I won't." Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? See, he had claimed that he did. What Christ had said might be true of the rest, but he was so loving, speaking of Peter, so faithful and true that he would die for him. Yet before the cock crow of the next morning, he had thrice denied that he knew Jesus, even with his oaths. Such was the collapse of the confident disciple who loved the Master better than these other disciples. Since that fall, Christ had met with Peter among the rest of the disciples, but had not referred to this subject. But now has come the time for a restoration of Peter. Hence he probes him with the question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" That question would at once recall to Peter his boastful claim, his awful fall, and would pierce him to the heart. He no longer claims that he is the truest of the apostolic band, does not even affirm confidently, but answers, "Thou knowest my heart, thou knowest that I love thee." But again, the question he asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" How would we answer Jesus if He asked us, "Do you love me more than these?" I suspect, and I'm sure we would like Peter answer, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." However, do we truly love Jesus? We sang the song, "Jesus loves me, this I know." But do we love Jesus more than anyone else and more than any other thing? And I want to put ourselves to the test this morning and this evening with three questions this morning, three questions tonight to test that. Do we really love Him more than these? I'm going to get in trouble with April and the kids now, but I want to make it more impactful. I want to make it more personal. If I could put a picture up of every family here, I would do it. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your family? For some of you, those who are sitting right next to you, right beside you, or close by, do you love Jesus more than you love them? Because we love the members of our family a great deal. And we should. They are very near and dear to our hearts. We would do anything for them because of our deep love and affection that we feel towards them. But do we love the Lord more than these? More than our family? Matthew chapter 10. Go with me there, please. In your New Testaments, to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 34 beginning through verse 37. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household, his own family, he's saying. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Again, of course, the Bible teaches us that we are to love our family members. That's natural affection. Husbands are to be willing to love their wives so much as Christ loved the church that they give their lives for their wife. But Jesus' penetrating question into your heart and my heart is, do you love me more than these? Do you love Jesus more than your spouse, more than your husband, more than your wife, as much as you love them, I hope and trust? Do you love Jesus more than your own children, as much as you love them, as much as you would do anything for them, and to protect them, to do what's best for them, to give your life for them? Do you love Jesus more than your parents, more than your grandparents, more than your grandchildren, more than your brothers and sisters in the flesh? You know, for many of us, situations and circumstances will arise that will directly test our supreme love and loyalty for the Lord over our family members. Many here, I know, have already faced such trials that you have had to make a choice, wherever that choice was. Where am I going to demonstrate that I love Jesus more than these? As much as I love my children, as much as I love my brother or sister in the flesh, as much as I love them, I love Jesus more. And so difficult choices and decisions will have to be made. And those times in life are certainly not easy or pleasant to face. And in those moments, actions are going to speak far louder than our words. Yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. Do I? Do I really? Because again, those times are going to happen and arise in our life. As Jesus says here, I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. Why? Because some are going to obey the gospel and some will not. And even some who obey the gospel will no longer walk faithfully. And who are we going to be more loyal to? Who are we going to love more? I didn't even put up the points. I apologize for that. Do you love me more than these? More than riches and wealth? Let me go back. I skipped a passage I wanted to get. Luke 14. Then we'll go to that next point. Luke 14. This is a parallel text to the one we noticed in Matthew chapter 10. And here in Luke chapter 14, Jesus uses what I would say would be hyperbole, exaggerated language, to make his point, to get our attention. And he does. And so in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And so there he says, if anyone loves father or mother more than me, is not worthy of me. In Matthew 10, here it's, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his parents, hate his spouse, his children, his brothers and sisters, his own life, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't love them less than you love me, if you don't love me more than you love your family, you can't be my disciple. Do we have that kind of love? Yes, Jesus loves us. We know that, but do we really love Him? And when it comes down to making a choice between Him and family, who are we getting more loyal to? Time will tell. And the Lord will observe if we really love Him more than these. Do you love me more than these? As we noted just a moment ago, a little too soon, but riches and wealth. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, please. And let's read verses 16 through 24. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit, or that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Let me ask you an easy question. What did this young man love more? His wealth or his Lord? Well, his wealth. As we read there in verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, what Jesus would have him to do, to part with his wealth, he went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. Sadly, he loved his earthly possessions more than he did the treasures of heaven. Because Jesus said, Go sell what you have, give the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. What did he love more? He loved the earthly possessions more than the treasure in heaven. He loved his wealth more than he loved his Lord. Of course, this is so true for so many in our world today, right? Almost from since the very beginning of time. But for a very, very long time, that's been the pattern of this wicked world, is to be enamored with riches, to be enamored with wealth. You know, many are, of course, are irreligious. They don't believe in God, or if they believe in God, they certainly don't have Him at all in their life. And their number one pursuit in life is riches. Their number one pursuit is the accumulation of wealth and earthly possessions. That's where their focus and energy is all directed towards. For others, they are religious, even as this young man here in Matthew 19, he was religious, clearly. His question indicates he has some spiritual mindedness about him, right? If he wants to know what he needs to do to have eternal life. He said he had kept the commandments from his youth, so in many respects, he's religious. And so we have those today who are religious, and yet they still love wealth, money, more than they love Jesus. And the parable of the sower, there in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus warned that one of the things that would choke the Word of God in the disciples' life was the deceitfulness of riches. He says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." The deceitfulness of riches is one of the things that will get in a disciple's heart and choke out God's Word, choke out fruit that should be born in our life. The deceitfulness of riches, one of those thorns. What is it about riches that make it or make them deceitful? What's deceiving about riches? Well, I'm sure some things are coming to your mind as I ask that question. But let me speak of three lies that money tell. Number one, that money is the goal of life. Wealth is the goal of life. How many in this world, that's the goal for them? Right? Think about the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, the parable that Jesus spoke of the rich fool. What was his number one goal? Wealth. I don't have barns big enough to store my crops. I will tear these down, build bigger ones. And I will eat, drink, and be merry, and take my ease. For many years, I've laid up this well. That's what his life was focused on. It wasn't focused on God. It was focused on himself and his money, his wealth, his earthly possessions. So, number one, people are deceived that money is the goal of life. That's what it's about. Number two, that money is the key to security. That's another deceitful thing about riches, the deceitfulness of riches. That money is security. And if I have more money, I have more security. Have more wealth, I have more security. Isn't it easy for us to get caught up in that very thought? We have to have money. Is there some sense of security to it? Yes, but for the Christian, that must not be where our security is. It must be in the Lord, His Word and His promises. But for a lot of people, that's where they place their trust, right? in uncertain riches. That's where they feel security. And a third lie is that money is an easy master. And there couldn't be a bigger lie than that. Money is an easy master, sir. No. Not of what it does to a person, not what it requires of a person, not what it demands of a person, not what it promises. It's not an easy master. And the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ taught in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon there is wealth. You can't serve God and money. Isn't that what the rich young ruler was trying to do? It's exactly what he's trying to do. He wanted both. And Christ knew exactly what his heart, where his heart was, and so he says, you lack one thing. There's this one thing that's an obstacle between you and treasure in heaven. And it's your money. It's your affection and it's your love for money. And so he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Brethren, friends, we cannot serve God in this. Can't do it. It's impossible. Everyone who's tried has failed. And everyone who continues to try will fail. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's read together verses 6 through 11, please. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And he continues. But back in verse 9, what does Paul say happens? What happens to those who desire to be rich? I desire to be rich. What does he say? Well, you're going to fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Does that not get your attention? If you desire to be rich, read that verse over and over and over again. I desire to be rich. We'll read that. And what about the love of money? What is the love of money? Verse 10, it's a root of all kinds of evil. And what has it done to some of God's children? For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, it's not just those in the world. It's also those in the church. It is the religious. It is the spiritually minded. It is those who want to go to heaven. And yet, there's an obstacle in their heart. They desire to be rich. They get caught up in the love of money. And some have strayed from the faith, Paul says, in their greediness, in their covetousness, in their materialistic thinking. And instead of being rich towards God, as he says in verse 17, to trust in God, they trust in uncertain riches. And notice, the Apostle Paul tells the Christian in verse 11, flee these things. Lots of times that passage of 1 Corinthians 6:18 comes to mind. Flee sexual immorality. He says, flee these things in this context. Flee that desire to be rich. Flee the love of money. Flee those things. They'll destroy you. They'll destroy your faith. Be content with what you have. Instead of pursuing those things, pursue righteousness and godliness in your life, and pursue faith, and pursue love and patience and gentleness. Let that be your focus. Attain those things. Those things will lead to pleasing God and eternal life. And if we will listen to Him, Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 19 through 21 tells us not to lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then He made this very powerful and penetrating statement in verse 21. For where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also. Where was the rich young ruler's heart? His treasure on earth. He had great possessions, so he went away sorrowful. Where's your treasure? Upward or downward? Lay up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me ask you, Jesus, do you love me, Jesus asked, more than this, more than these, more than riches, more than wealth? Not everyone does. Some of God's children will show and demonstrate they love their family more than they love God. Some, by their actions and choices and their heart, will reveal to the Lord they love this more than they love Him. What about you? What about me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than entertainment? We live in a world, do we not, that is literally saturated with countless forms of entertainment that continually distract our minds, fill up our time, and draw us away from spiritual matters. The Apostle John tenderly wrote, Christians in 1 John 5 and verse 21, and he said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's how he ended that first epistle. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. That's how he ends it. Anything that comes before God in our life has become an idol in our heart. Anything that comes before God in your life or my life has become, whether we recognize it, realize it, admit it or not, has become an idol in our heart. Has our TV become our idol? Has our computer connected to our internet become our idol? Has our smartphone or our tablet become our idol? Has our video gaming become our idol? Has social media become our idol? Just as riches are deceitful, so can these various forms of entertainment be deceitful. They easily take over and dominate our lives, including the lives of our family, if we're not very, very careful. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Our brother in Christ, Paul, exhorts us, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And there's much of that in the entertainment industry, for sure, in that realm, in media. But we are to walk carefully in this evil world. And we are to strive to make, Paul says, the best use of our time and then think about this and think about these things. And Jesus says, do you love me more than these? Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, actions speak louder than words. Yes, Lord, I love you. Do you? Do you love me more than these? The devil would love nothing more than filling our seconds, minutes, hours, and days, and our life with just constant entertainment. Even entertainment that is not of ungodly nature, but just sucking up, consuming our time. Devoting our time, our minds to such. The devil loved that. Because the more time we're spending on these things, the less time we must be doing a Bible study and prayer and spending time with our family. Maybe making phone calls and sending cards and notes to others. Making visits. Evangelism. Trying to teach the lost. Because so much of our time and seconds and minutes and hours are spent here. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Paul instructed Christians in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Where do these various forms of entertainment so often set our minds? Can we say, well, they set my mind on things above, do they? And again, I'm not saying we have to get rid of all of it, even though that probably wouldn't be a bad idea. And my wife would readily go with that right now. These different aspects of technology, we know they're here to stay, but there has to be balance in our life. And oftentimes, there's not, I'm afraid. And they consume too much of our time and attention, and they redirect our focus below instead of above. And so, dear Christian friend, let us be sure that we are truly seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things may be added to us. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Jesse, do you love me more than these? And then put your name in there. Do you love me more than your family members? Do you love me more than riches and wealth? And do you love me more than entertainment? In Mark 12 and verse 30, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, our entire being. He's a jealous God, and He wants and demands all of us. Whoever is not willing to forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple, Luke 14, 33. Are you willing to forsake all for Him? Yes, Jesus loves me, this I know. But do we love Him? If you will, take out your hymn book, open the song of invitation, please. Hope you can be back this evening as we consider three more questions regarding do you love me more than these. We would invite and encourage you to demonstrate your genuine love for the Lord by obeying His will right now, by obeying the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. He also said later in that same book, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Perhaps you haven't heard enough and you'd like to study. Let us know. We'll study today. We'll study right after services if you'd like. Feeding on this is far more important than feeding on physical food. Your eternal soul is at stake. Let us know. But maybe you've heard and you believe, as is required of us, that Jesus to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 3:16. Maybe you know that He commands us to repent so that we will not be lost, Luke 13:3, and you're ready to repent. Maybe you know God's Word tells us that we must confess Jesus with our mouth, believe in our heart God raised Him from the dead, Romans 10:9 and 10. And you're ready to do that. Maybe you know that God commands in His Word, Jesus commands that we must be baptized in Him for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38. And you're ready to do that. If so, we're ready to assist you. All you have to do is let us know. If you've done those things, but there's sin in your life, you haven't been serving and loving the Lord with the fullness of your being and heart, and you need to repent of some sin, whatever your spiritual need may be, let it be known as we stand and as we sing.